Like Peter, going along in life, you sin. And we're going to look and talk a little bit now about how the cross applies to that as well. Not just for our forgiveness in eternity, but the forgiveness in the reality of our relationship and fellowship with God, which is disrupted when we disobey Him. And of course, this is the account, we read it, of Jesus predicting Peter's denial. And of course, we do too. Like Peter, we perhaps overrate our strength, and we make kinds of statements like, yes, I will, when maybe, no, it's like only by His strength that you can. And like Peter, maybe we get in a place where we're actually kind of more concerned about kind of the timing of things, like, Lord, this, that, and the other thing, and where you're going, and not as concerned about the command he just gave Peter to love one another as I have loved you. So we get off just like Peter got off, and yet the cross provides a road back to renewed fellowship. It does for Peter, and it does for us in repentant confession. Denial of Jesus, of course, is a horrible thing. And yet it isn't the end. And when we sin, it's a horrible thing. And yet it isn't the end. And the denial of Jesus is, by Peter is described in John 18, verses 15 through 18 and verse 25 through 27. There three times Peter did exactly what Jesus said he would do and the exact opposite of what Peter said he would do. And Jesus here says, truly, truly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. And of course, we know from Luke that after Peter heard that rooster, he went out and wept bitterly. He knew exactly what he had done. He had sinned against his Lord and denied him. But there's some encouraging words in John chapter 15, verse 3. And this, of course, is before Peter's denial, but after Jesus has predicted his denial. And here again, Jesus says the same thing to Peter that he said to him about Peter and the others earlier. He said, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. So the work of Jesus on the cross is applying to us as believers always a road back. I take you to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, a very familiar verse, but I just want us to look at these words and consider. This is to be a part of a believer's daily life, a reality of when we sin, we are called to confess in agreement with the Lord that sin. And then the wonderful promise that is here in this verse, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now remember, 1 John 1:9 was written to those who are born again. They are indeed true children of God by personal faith in Christ. It was written to those who have eternal life now. John chapter 3, verse 1, John chapter 5, verse 13. So what we're talking about here, this forgiveness, is not the eternal courtroom forgiveness. This is the family room forgiveness, as I like to call it. It's that forgiveness of restored fellowship when we do sin. And that too is secured by the cross. In fact, just a few verses later from 1 John 1:9, John writes, and He is the propitiation for our sins. Imagine this, if you were hurt by a family member who offended you greatly, and then do you kick them out of your family because they hurt you and sinned against you? I hope not. Well, neither does God kick us out if we're truly in His family, if we're truly born again, if we've truly received that wonderful eternal courtroom forgiveness where God says, not guilty, and I credit you the righteousness of Christ, not based on your performance, but based on Jesus and what He did for you on that cross. And so though that family member is still in your family, there's a rift in the relationship, in the fellowship, in the closeness, in the bond. But imagine this, What if that person comes to you in all sincerity? I am so sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. You know that, at least in a healthy family, instantly the relationship moves to a different level because of the confession. And so the cross of Jesus provides for us something like that in our relationship with God. God's arms are open wide for us to be restored to fellowship with Him, the intimacy and the connection. And He gives that kind of forgiveness and cleansing when we confess to Him and agree with Him that we have done wrong. So we do that in honest prayer to the Lord. We do that in concretely acknowledging to the Lord, not making excuses or covering up or pretending it's not there, but humbly before the Lord saying what is true and confessing. And God promises forgiveness and restoration and renewing. And there's a kind of restoring that God also provides through the finished work of Jesus on the cross for believers, and that is He reverses for Peter the three denials and later speaks words of restoration and future fruitfulness to him three times. And so this is so encouraging for us to know that this kind of work that Jesus does in our lives because of the cross, by the working of His Spirit, as we align our lives with Him and His Word, He restores us to fruitfulness too. As horrible as the denial of Jesus by Peter is, it does not compare to how wonderful it is that Jesus restores him and us as well. If you turn over to John chapter 21, you can see a description of this restoration and this renewed commissioning to future fruitfulness. And of course, you probably remember that Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And the third time here is recorded for us, John chapter 21, verse 18. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And the third time, as Peter replies, Jesus recommissions Peter. And I think Peter probably at some point goes, "Oh, I get it. That's what this is. It is the reversal of the denial. It is what I did three times in denying Jesus, Jesus done three times in restoring me to future fruitfulness." What a Savior. This was secured by His cross as well. So we face not only the reality of our sin and have the invitation of Jesus to receive forgiveness in the sense of the fellowship being renewed once again, but we also face the reality of the struggle in life, our weaknesses, the things that we may think have sort of knocked us out of the game in terms of spiritual fruitfulness, whatever it is. And maybe that's all the things that are overwhelming us, hurts, needs, issues. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, just a wonderful all-purpose invitation to all believers because Jesus was crucified and He is our great high priest. It's an invitation for us to come to Him. And I picture this invitation being for each one of us tonight, whatever it is that may be holding us back from greater fruitfulness, or the feeling and knowing that we are restored by Jesus to what He has ahead for us. This is the verse: "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's go back to Peter's confident, "Lord, I will." I want to suggest that every time we go to that place of confidence in ourselves, we're probably beginning down the road of spiritual failure. But what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 points us to is a heart posture of, "Lord, I need you, help, grace, strength, wisdom, guidance." And every time we're in that posture, we're moving down the road to greater fruitfulness, what Jesus has ahead for us. So go to the crucified Jesus for help, whatever it is. Whatever grace and mercy and help you need, go to Him. And He will, in that reliance on Him, Lord, I need, move us ahead on the road of greater fruitfulness. This too is an invitation for us every day. This too is a reality of all the time. And of course, as we come to the Lord's table tonight, we're remembering Jesus' finished work on the cross. We're remembering that He provides that forever made right with God, forgiveness, redemption. In God's courtroom, not guilty, and credited with the righteousness of Christ. Jesus paid in full that price for you on that cross. And as we take these elements in remembrance of Him, we are doing just that. So I want to invite each one who has a personal faith in Christ, because this is the Lord's table, it's not Trinity's table, each one who has personally turned to Him and received that eternal forgiveness to partake of the bread and the cup this evening. It's a little different than we customarily do it here at Trinity. Unless you've been with us a while, you may know this is our Good Friday tradition. For most of you, I think standing will be fine. If you do need to sit, there's a couple of chairs that we provided. But come either yourself, with some others, with family, however you feel led to partake of either the customary elements, the bread and the cup, or the prepackaged, which is gluten-free. So that'll serve two purposes, whether you want gluten-free or you want to use the prepackaged communion. Now, tonight we are also talking about a couple other things besides the Lord's Supper, which Jesus commanded and instituted. We've added a couple things tonight that are just things that we think may help you to make this confession experience maybe a little more tangible and concrete, and the going to Jesus in prayer related to some area of need or where you're stuck, and make that a little more concrete and tangible. So we have two other stations tonight. This is the main one. These are supplemental. But over here to my left, we have an area that's like, what happened to the chairs, Pastor Bruce? Well, actually, we removed those chairs because that is a prayer station. And so during the time when communion is happening and people are coming and the team is leading us in music, if you want prayer, there will be someone there to pray with you. And these are some people that I've asked for one season. I'm the person there to pray with you. But if you're like, hey, I need prayer for this or this or this, and you know what? I didn't even think about it when I was coming in here, but I think this is something that's a need for me that may be holding me back. Then come over here for prayer. This is the spirit of James 5. Not just pray silently. That's a good thing. But sometimes you need to go to other believers and have them pray with you and for you. You might want to go to the prayer station sometime this evening as we're partaking of communion and the team is leading us in worship. Now, another station is the confession station. The confession table's in the back. You're confessing to Jesus, not to anybody here, but we've provided a table, some cards, and you can write that phrase, that word. You can write in a different language if you want and fold it. There's a little jar back there to put it in. We're going to destroy those when it's done. This is just a concrete way to help you go, yes, I am giving this to Jesus. And then when you write that there, say a prayer and confess and then hold on to the promise that He has promised. He is faithful and just and will forgive. Not just the eternal courtroom, but you are restored in that fellowship with God based on the finished work of Jesus Christ and His promise to you that that's what He does. Now, if you've already confessed and you know you're forgiven, then don't put it in there, right? But if it's like, no, this is a deeper level. This is something recent. This is something that I don't think I have confessed and I need to. That may help you to make that personal confession tangible and concrete. So I want to invite everyone now to the Lord's table.